possible work session on Senate Bill 5528, the Board of Tax Practitioners. And do we have a sign-in sheet for... We'd invite anybody who is interested in testifying to sign up on the sign-in sheet. I don't see a rush to the table, so in that case, we'll invite Mr. Burson, the director, up to the table. And it is the chair's intention today to hear the high-level agency overview, comments from the Budget and Management Office, and then to, as soon as we have a quorum established, go into work session on this budget. Good morning.
Morning, Madam Chair.
So with that, Mr. Burson, we're going to ask you to make any comments, and then you'll be followed by Mr. Padre, who's going to give us the governor's overview.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And before we start, and while you're sort of gathering yourself, I'm going to ask Dallas to share with the committee what all is at everybody's place and give us a little staff guidance
okay.
this morning.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, first of all, let me explain some of the materials that you placed. You have a copy of a letter that was sent from the Department of Administrative Services to Representative Krupp on an issue for the Department of Administrative Services. You also have answers from that department to questions posed in Phase 2. In addition to those materials is a schedule for the rest of this Phase 2 for the General Government Subcommittee up through May 13th, I believe. That's a schedule as it is planned now. Getting to today, you have my little summary of the department's missions, discussion on budget notes, audit findings, and the LFO recommendations with respect to the Board of Tax Practitioners. So that's the summary of everything in front of you. Some of it has to do with the Department of Administrative Services budget request that we'll be revisiting in Phase 3, the schedule, and then my recommendations with respect to the Board of Tax Practitioners.
Just out of curiosity, Madam Chair.
Representative Moore, Senator Morris.
What is the schedule for completing our work in total?
Here. To be quite honest, Madam Chair, members of the committee, I think we have a conceptual target of middle of June that I've been told about, but we haven't been given our marching orders to schedule out the rest of phase.
Our committee work would have to be done sometime prior to the, obviously, to get stuff just through the system. But you're saying just this committee, the middle of June?
I believe all. I can't speak for the Justice Committee. In general, I think they were targeting middle of June. That's that's the direction we've been told to go. But we've been given no guidance or direction as to phase three. I can share with you this, that you will probably not be able to finish the Secretary of State. I don't want to presume, but there are issues surrounding certain budgets, Department of Administrative Services, Governor's Office, Secretary of State, that are in this committee that may take on additional Government Standards and Practices Commission, I believe, is another one that will be in Phase 3. Most of the others we would expect to be able to complete during Phase 2. I just don't have a schedule that I've even been able to work with the chair on past the
I have nothing
through.
To nothing to add to what Dallas has said.
Yes, right.
Just in time planning.
Just in time.
Any questions of Dallas? Okay. At this point, I think you've had a chance to gather your paperwork and we'll invite you to begin. State your name for the record, please.
My name is Ronald A. Burson. I'm the Executive Director for the Board of Tax Practitioners. And I'd like to, if it's all right with you, Madam Chair, invite our Board Chair up to the table.
I'd be delighted to have her join us.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Board of Tax Practitioners is an agency that is funded entirely by other funds. It receives its funding through its license fees, examination fees, business registrations, and other miscellaneous fees such as proctoring or examinations. major environmental issue that faces this board is the state of Oregon continues to increase in population, and currently we are holding our own but falling behind in our efforts to meet the demand of Oregonians. With the increase in population, there's an increase for people that have expertise in tax preparation, and so we continue to work towards that. We have instituted some programs at the agency hoping to meet the future demands. Those programs include mentorship programs, having some of our more experienced consultants bring some of our preparers forward into the consultant, help them become consultants, and then actually once they become consultants, continue to mentor them through through their careers so that they are able to take on more and more difficult tax returns. The other one is that we are working with the industry currently to align our priorities. One thing we found with our examinations is sometimes what the board wants to do on an examination and what the industry is out there teaching, sometimes they're not exactly aligned. And so we're really working close with them to make sure whatever the industry is teaching the folks in this basic education course, that we are testing in those areas.
Is your board the connect point for that exchange of information, or do you have industry focus groups, or what informs the kind of activities that you're talking about where you might change your examination to reflect what's occurring on the street?
Madam Chair, I believe that we are the connection point there, and I think that we've been remiss in our duties there on informing the industry on the direction our tests are going. We put out a lot of information on.
That still is a disconnect for me, because what you originally said is you have a body of test material, and I presume your board is integrally involved in developing that body of test material.
Yes, ma'am.
But you sometimes, at least what your comments indicated, might be out of sync with what's occurring sort of on the street. And I'm trying to figure out, where do you link up those people that are your licensees? What's the input point where they tell you things that might cause you to change the direction of your examinations or make other adjustments? Do they appear before your board? Are they the people that serve on your board? Do you do focus groups? How do you connect outside of your office with what's happening in the real world of tax preparation?
Currently, our program is designed to, they do come to our board meetings, first of all. They participate at our board meetings, these folks that are leaders of the industry out there, that are the ones that are out there educating the most new preparers in the state, such as H&R Block has probably the largest school in the state. Now, what I was talking about with this program is now we are actually going out to them. When I say we, the board and its staff are going out to them and making sure that their curriculum is the same stuff that we're testing on. It's not an area that we've looked at in the past. We have always told them what we're testing on. In other words, we've told them the areas, but we haven't actually made sure that what they're teaching is aligning with those tests. And it's a new program, but I'm hoping that it actually helps people be more successful at passing our initial examination.
Okay. Senator Morissette.
Yeah. Is your board, I don't know if I asked you this before, is your board a policy board or an advisory board?
Madam Chair, Senator Moore said, I believe our board is a policy board.
Do they hire the director?
Yes, they do.
They do. Okay, so you are a policy board. Okay, you meet 5 times a year.
That is what is scheduled for this next year, yes.
Yeah, okay, good. I just wanted to get that.
Yes.
One of the things Senator Moore said, Senator Morris and I have been working on some best business practices with respect to board-agency interaction. And in consultation with LFO, we realized we were doing this in a somewhat haphazard way. We were only connecting with those agencies that we were actually seeing, and we were adding language that hadn't been fully vetted and developed. And so in subsequent meetings, the direction that we're now headed is over the interim to there'll be a budget note inserted into DAS's budget to help develop clear guidelines for those boards that have policy, those boards that are advisory, so that we make sure that we're not asking advisory boards to do policy work. And I think we had the seeds of a good plan. It just needed some further refinement, and it needed to be institutionalized in a more systematic way. And we're working to that end. So I think in succeeding sessions, in Ways and Means, you'll see a more fully developed, what I call for shorthand, best business practices with respect to good governance and the relationship between boards and agencies and administrators. But it's coming in more thoughtful development from LFO. Please continue.
Okay. The major changes in the agency over at least the last three biennia is the agency has in the past had some financial stability problems. They had they had overestimated the revenues and underestimated their expenditures during those biennia, and consequently they ate away their ending balance and they got themselves in the hole. I think we talked about this in our previous presentation, but back in February of 2002, the agency actually needed to borrow money from the state treasury of $90,000. And the low point for our agency is March of each year, and fortunately, we just got our last BRIO report, and I don't know if that's an acronym or not. If it is, I don't know what BRIO stands for, but it's the last financial report from DAS, and I had reported in this previous presentation that we were going to have an ending balance of $126,000 at March, but we've actually, the real numbers is $130,213, so we've actually done just a little bit better over the last few months.
You should take credit for sound management.
Well, I appreciate that.
I'm going to interrupt your presentation one more time. Senator Morissette, I understand you have a guest, and I would be delighted to have the guest join us at the dais. If you'd like to introduce your guest, that would be the pleasure of the chair.
Professor Dan Cox from OSU, who is in charge of the tsunami wave.
Oh, lovely. Would you join us, Professor?
Thank you.
This is the Board of Tax Practitioners, and we are reviewing their budget materials in the second phase of a Ways and Means presentation with the idea today of acting on the budget and moving it forward towards consideration by the full Ways and Means and then on to the respective houses for passage. So that's where we are. This is the director, the chair of his board, and the gentleman on the end is from the Budget Management Office of the Department of Administrative Services, presenting the governor's recommendations with respect to this budget.
Okay. Thanks for allowing me to sit up here.
We're very pleased to have you, and I represent a coastal district, so I appreciate the work you're doing with respect to tsunami. Please continue, Mr. Bruce.
I appreciate you being from OSU.
Careful, careful. You got a budget hanging in the balance here.
Well, he's got only one vote from a beaver.
Darn.
Two. It looks like on beaver strength alone, you're going to skid into home plate.
Appreciate that. Specific actions that the agency has done is that we have tried to contain our costs. Look at what we're doing. First of all, is it necessary to do it, and is this the best way to do it? At the same time, it's fairly easy just to reduce costs. You can quit doing things. But at the same time, you have to look at, are you hurting the public out there? I mean, we are a consumer protection agency. If we put that at risk, then really what good are we? So at the same time, not just reducing the cost, but try to improve the delivery of our services, not only to the public, but also our licensees. So that was always really important to me. And we've been pretty successful in doing that. We have had a biennium go by where we have kept our costs down, and that has allowed us to keep our license fees the same for this biennium. We have not put a bill in for fee increase, and actually at the end of this next biennium, it will be 6 years since there was a fee increase. An example of containing costs, we're improving delivery. Just the other day, a staff member came to me and said, we've sent out agendas to everybody for our meetings, to all the interested parties. And she was making copies of 80 of them. And she says, there's 80 of these. Isn't there a better way of doing this? I said, yeah, why don't we start emailing to them, and we post them on our website. And so we are consequently informing these 80 interested people and associations that they're available on our website, but if they would like a hard copy of it, we can email it to them. So eliminating that cost of mailing those. And it's these small things that have actually turned this board around.
You might want to use those 80 as a vehicle to encourage participation by others, because they'll have their own community of people they communicate with. Dels?
I had something that I'm sure what we do with our audit committee and information management technology committee is put our materials in PDF, upload them to our website, and email the hot link to our members, so that your own staff has cut down on postage for legislative fiscal office.
Thank you. It really works. It cuts down our cost quite a bit. Agencies, I had other examples here, but I'm just going to go ahead and go forward unless the committee has any questions.
No, please proceed.
The agency's use of professional services. We currently contract with community colleges throughout the state. It's a nice program for us to work with another type of government agency. They proctor our examinations. We have tried to get our examinations throughout the state, so no person wanting to take our examination would need to travel more than a couple hours. In the past, the board itself held the examinations, and there were only three held per year, and they were usually here in the valley. And so people from even far eastern Oregon would have to travel, stay overnight, and take the examination. If they were unsuccessful, it was difficult for them to get in. So this is, again, delivering our product better, but also gives us a chance to work with the community colleges. Other professional arrangements we use, we do have a computer consultant that works on just on our database, but as far as our computer needs in the office, we contract with the Department of Administrative Services, IRMD, to take care of those needs for us. The major budgetary issues for this biennium is that we have talked earlier about wanting to increase the number of licensees that we have. And so what that will do is that we'll put more workload on the people that are actually in the office. We have a staff of four that includes myself, and so each of those different areas will have to increase their workload to be able to license those additional people, more examinations, and, of course, the more work you do in compliance, the more work you do, the more work you get.
Remind me, just because I've forgotten, physically, where are you located?
We are located in the Morrill Crane Building on Pringle Road. It's an office building. We're located with several other small boards and commissions. There's seven of us out there.
Who all is out there?
The Board of Psychologists, the Board of Chiropractic Examiners, Board of Counselors and Therapists, the Board of Optometry, Board of Accountancy, Board of Social Workers.
I would just pose a question to your board chair. There has been some discussion in this committee about, there have been two discussions, and I don't want to confuse them. One of them was the consolidation of you and the Board of Accountancy, and I think that has reached its terminus and we're moving on. The other one is the question of what your board's reaction would be to a combined back room, as long as you didn't lose your identity, advocacy, ability to interact with your licensees, but simply to see if there were any economies of scale in having payroll produced at a single point, having accounting done at a single point, having your reports distributed from a single point. That you may want to contemplate your reaction, but just off the top of your head, I'd be curious what...
Individually.
You need to identify yourself, please.
Excuse me. Donna Gilmore, Board Chair, Board of Tax Practitioners. I doubt if I need it. I'm a school teacher. Madam Chair, in reply to your question, individual things, I think, could be handled. I know that for a payroll of four people, for instance, a single thing. But as I look at different things, our board works very closely with our staff. I can pick up the phone and talk to the education staff person and tell her something, and it's taken care of. If the whole thing gets too big, then the board and we don't have access. Am I getting my point?
You are. What I'm trying to figure out is that nothing would change except a common payroll would occur from a common locus.
I can't see that. In reply again to your, I can't see the payroll would be a problem. I can see that in other areas that you mentioned that there could be some problems.
Well, what I'm hearing from you is if you head in this direction, committee, do so judiciously and keep us in the loop. Just because you don't want to lose your identity, you don't want to lose your advocacy, you don't want to lose your connect points with your staff, you don't want to lose your connect points with your licensees, you don't want to lose your connect points with your professional industry statewide and nationally. You wouldn't want anything that was a diminution of your identity. But what I'm feeling around to see is, are there any cost savings that could be realized by the fact that there are seven of you grouped together, common phone system with discrete lines for your business? I'm making this up. But I'm just trying to see, as long as you're all grouped out there together, do you all pay the same insurance rate? If you negotiated with the building manager as a block, could you cut a better deal? Those are the sorts of things that I'm just trying to feel around the edges of. Mr. Burson?
Madam Chair, I could answer a few of those questions. Yes, we do. From your last, we negotiate our lease as a total lease for the total area. So all seven of us come together on that. We do share things in the building, such as fax machines, copiers, some of the hardware that's out there. We share a phone system that's out there. So there are some economies that we currently use. Some of your other examples, such as payroll, accounting, that's what this young man does for us. His agency does our payroll, does our accounting for us. And as far as reports, creating the reports, I mentioned a report earlier, they create those reports for us. So we do, many of those areas, we use state services that are available to us. We don't try to do those type of things on our own.
Great. You've already answered my question. The fact that you all negotiate as a block, that was you've answered my question. Okay.
I'll quickly.
Dallas, do you have something?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay. Please continue. I'm going to step out.
Policy packages, we really don't have any. The only increases in our budget are increases that were put upon us, such as, I put a 16% Attorney General inflation cost, but that I sense is lowered, I guess. So it's gone up from down from 119 to 111, and I think that's reflected in Dallas's recommendation to the committee. The only other increases that the agency is looking at, like say, was DOJ, any kind of DAS increases that we might have, Department of Administrative Services, and the only other increase is if this is a year where raises are given to state employees, we will, of course, increase on our payroll. So those are the only things that we're looking at there. The rationale for our ending balance is, I know there was some discussion in the priority section of our budget hearing about, you know, is our ending balance actually too high? And I would argue that it is not. I've talked about in the past where we ate away all our ending balance and all of a sudden found ourselves in a problem area. If you notice with this budget, our revenues and our expenses are very close on this. Even with Dallas's the new recommendations, they're still only about, I want to say, $11,000 difference between the two. So this budget we're running pretty tight. And so the next budget we're going to have to either look at a fee increase or we're going to have, again, if we increase the number of licensees, maybe we won't need a fee increase. So, but it gives us 2 years to do that. I think if I'm a little bit wrong on the number of revenues, we have this ending balance to fall back on. But it's not excessive. It's roughly 3 to 4 months ending balance.
Possibly you could elaborate a little further. There's no fee increase, and we're looking at about 6.4% per year increase, which is quite a bit higher than many of the other budget agencies or budgets of other agencies. What are the drivers for, you know, it's a status quo, but yet we're up about 6.4% a year?
One of the things that did affect this agency, and then I'll let Satish talk, is that the Department of Administrative Services sets their amount that they charge us for these accounting services. They look back basically at about a biennium and a half to get a full biennium in there. Previously, when the agency was run by the previous director, they essentially used too many hours of their accountants there. And so the number of hours they use for their accountants is what this biennium is set on. So ours increased, I think I put down here, $12,470, which is a substantial increase for us. But we're paying for mistakes we made, I want to say, 2.5 years ago. We used the Department of Administrative Services too much for our county when we're having financial troubles. And so they were spending too much time. We have since, in other words, we weren't looking at it like we look with the Department of Justice, we look at our attorneys. Every hour we spend on our attorneys, we know there's $111. Nobody was looking at the accountants and saying, this is X number of dollars. They just simply kept getting reports and kept getting different plans to try to get out of this financial crisis that they were having. But they were spending money at the time, but they weren't spending it in this biennium because they already had their assessment for the biennium they were in. Essentially, they were spending money in 2005-2007 biennium. So in 2007-2009, this amount will drop substantially because our hours with the Department of Administrative Services, I have dropped those substantially from the current assessment that we have.
Are your problems pretty well resolved?
Yes.
Then wouldn't that be reflected in lower charges for 2005-2007?
Again, they do their assessments on back by any, and maybe Satish can explain.
Mr. Chair,
shed some light on that.
Yes, Senator Morse, Satish Upadhyay with the Department of Administrative Services. The Department of Administrative Services charges, there are two kinds. One is the standard for all state agencies, and there's a service that DAS provides for smaller agencies like the Board of Tax Practitioners. This is the shared client services charges, where the charges are based on usage. Because small agencies don't have resources to do their accounting and payroll and all that, DAS provides that services. And those services are based on past usage. So in this case, what's happened in the case of this agency is that they've had more usage in the past. So the way that the 2005-2007 charges are based on their usage in 2001-2003, basically, I think. So what their reduced usage would reflect in 2007-2009. So what DAS does, the way the shared client services charges are based on is we look at the historic usage, and then that's how we set the charges. And so if they have less usage, then for 2007-2009 you should be seeing a reduction on the portion that is shared client services.
Acceptable method.
Well, Mr. Chair, it's consistent. What we try to look at is consistency over time. As long as they're consistent we haven't asked them to change their methodology. We've relied on them. Sometimes they'll tweak it a bit, but as long as they're consistent, we're comfortable that over time the equitable amount is charged and assessed properly. So is this the ideal? Probably not, but it's one that the Department of Administrative Services has used over time and has found works for them in planning and budgeting. And so we've gone along with that. We can certainly have them look at that in the future when we bring the Department of Administrative Services back in phase three and ask them maybe to reevaluate some of the methodology for that. In which case, if they do change, then there would be kind of a transition impact in any given biennium.
Madam Chair.
Senator Morse.
Thank you. Did you run across any fraudulent tax preparers this tax season? The last time you were here, we talked about some of these concerns. And Senator, our Representative Krupp went public with that issue on Sunday morning.
At the request or the permission of the chair?
I think this is a public consumer protection issue, and I welcome.
It was, and it is.
I represented or appreciated the voice of Portland making it known.
Senator Johnson, Senator Morse.
May I interrupt for just a moment? We have a little logistical issue. I would like very much to move this budget today. I understand you're in the process of completing your work, that Satish is going to give his recommendation. I have been called in to see the co-chairs briefly. I'm going to explain to them that we are on the cusp of moving this budget. I will scoot back out. Unless there's any objection, that's how I would like to do this. So in my absence, I'm going to ask Mr. Upadhyaya to give the budget and management overview, and I'll come right back and we'll move this budget.
Okay.
Did you want me to?
Yes, I would like that.
Senator Morissette, I brought this in here today. This is actually a complaint log, and this actually dates back to July of 2004. And so we are currently on number 113 complaints that have come into the board, and the last date here is 418. Yes, we did find fraudulent folks out there. And what's always ironic about the fraudulent folks is they're always using our they seem to be using our credential a lot out there. Folks will let themselves or call themselves consultants, call themselves even licensed consultants out there. The probably the biggest one that we found this year was a this person we have in the Yamhill County area that is upwards of 1,300 returns that never had a license, and it's just amazing how much they can do in a short amount of time. But we are finding folks that are doing unlicensed work. Now, whether those tax returns are fraudulent, which is part of your question to me, is we work with the Department of Revenue, and we will bring in auditors from the Department of Revenue to look at those returns to determine that. We just had a case that came out of hearing where a Department of Revenue auditor actually testified there that the returns were fraudulent, and each one of these people are being assessed additional tax, and, of course, penalties and interest that come along with it. So the consumer was harmed by this person coming in.
May I follow up?
Yeah.
How did you run across, how do you find these people? I think you may have touched on that, but specifically the one that you're talking about in Yamhill County, how did you run across him?
Senator Morissette, okay, about the specific one in Yamhill County, let me first of all go to just a general thing. We have a few ways of finding folks out there. Probably our biggest asset for finding people is our current licensees. I mean, they hold their license valuable. And when they feel somebody come in that isn't licensed, they usually give us a call. They also find people when you go to a tax preparer, you bring last year's returns in. They review last year's returns. They find problems with them. They say, who did you have them done with last year? They name the person. They call us. Is that person licensed? They made a lot of errors. So our licensees is a big issue. Consumers call us on a pretty regular basis because they have problems. Usually the people that are unlicensed, they have problems. Either the tax agencies come back to them and say your return was no good. They can't electronically file the return because there's problems in it, so they call us. And probably the hardest way for us to do it is our actual compliance specialist. Whenever that person goes into a community, they're always looking for somebody that's got a sign up or something that says, you know, tax returns prepared. And they check to make with our database to make sure they're licensed. They stop in and talk to them. That's one. The specific person in Yamhill County, it was called on by a consumer call. They had a problem with the tax agency.
Good. Thank you. That was interesting. Caught some bad guys.
Good. Mr. Upadhyaya, are you?
Yes, ma'am. Madam Chair and members of the subcommittee, this is Satish Upadhyaya of the Department of Administrative Services, and today I'll be providing you with an overview of the Governor's recommended budget for the State Board of Tax Practitioners for the 2005-2007 biennium. And if you will please refer to my presentation handout. If you will please go to page 2. As you can see from these charts are for the entire Consumer and Business Services program area, which consists of 17 agencies. The State Board of Tax Practitioners, it's a relatively small budget. It's just 0.1% of the total program area budget. And the entire budget is other funds. Moving on to page 3, the functions of this agency support the governor's principle on government efficiency and accountability. If you please move to page 4, the chart there shows that this budget is entirely other funded. It's funded with licensing, business registration, and exam fees. There is no general fund. On to page 5, the chart there shows the breakdown of the budget between various budget categories. 60% of the budget is personal services, 39% is services and supplies, and 1% is capital outlay. Moving on to page 6, the table there shows the budgets across various biennia. So if you look at the column on the far right, and in comparison to 2003-2005, the budget is an 11.8% increase. The reason for the increase, about 15% increase is in personal services, and about 7.5% increase is for services and supplies. There were no policy packages. There was just standard inflation factors used. And this agency has 4 full-time equivalent positions. The major policy issues, the governor's budget continues all existing operations.
Are we in work session?
No. Yes. No. We're still in public here. Sorry.
And that's it.
Thank you. All right. Any questions for Mr. Upadhyaya? Okay. There being none, I'm going to ask if there's any other folks that desire to speak on this budget before we close out the opportunity. There being none, I am going to close the public hearing on SB 5528 and open a work session on SB 5528, the Board of Tax Practitioners. With that, Mr. Wyman, would you give us your recommendations?
Our recommendations of legislative fiscal are quite simple, Madam Chair, members of the committee. We're recommending a couple of reductions to the governor's recommended budget in other funds limitation to recognize the reduction in the public employees' retirement contribution rate, $3,169, and a reduction in the attorney general rate of $2,628. Total reduction just for those factors of $5,797. We understand there may be additional adjustments coming to this budget because of other assessment agency budgets when they're passed, the Department of Administrative Services or others. We'll take care of those in the cleanup bill. Again, those adjustments would have no impact on the operations of the department. They would just reflect the lower costs that they would have incurred for those assessments. With respect to the performance measures, the department brought the agency brought forward 4. We're recommending approval of those 4, plus the addition of the 2 standard ones for that we're putting in all agency budgets, asking them to come back in 07, developing customer satisfaction targets, and those have been added as numbers 5 and 6 on the performance measures.
Any questions about the LFO recommendation? With that,
Madam Chair, I think you were out of the room at the time I was questioning the rate of increase based on mill fees, and it seemed to be pretty high. To learn that DAS uses a factor in preparing pro formas rather than actual, and would ask maybe that staff would flag when we bring DAS back to talk about that, because you may wind up with an inflationary bias that's not necessary.
I think that's an excellent point, and I would very much request that Dallas capture that, and we'll come back and visit with DAS about it. And if necessary, we could come back and make an adjustment. Thank you. Okay, any other questions with respect to the LFO recommendation? There being none, the chair would entertain a recommendation to accept the LFO recommendation.
So moved.
Representative Krupp moves the LFO recommendation with respect to the Board of Tax Practitioners. Any questions? Any objections? There being no objections, LFO recommendations with respect to the Board of Tax Practitioners are adopted. Okay. And that, I think, concludes our...
Yes, Madam Chair. What we will do is draft an amendment, and we'll need carriers to bring it to the floor for a recommendation to adopt the amendment and move it out to the floor as amendment.
I wanted this one.
Oh, okay. All right.
Are you two going to fight?
You can have it. Okay, okay.
All right.
I get the tax practitioner.
Representative Smith has volunteered to take it to full and to the House, and... Senator Morissette has volunteered to carry it to the Senate. And I think I didn't say this on the record, but it moves to full with a due pass recommendation.
Madam Chair,
right.
The next time these two can't agree on a particular budget, you feel free to just direct it to the one that's not having a problem.
Noted for
you
the record. All right.
Madam Chair, I'd be happy to let the good representative have the Department of Revenue.
No, we've all voted and we'd like to get it. Any other comments from the panel? All right. Any other comments from the professional staff?
No, Madam Chair, except that next week we have the schedules. There will be no meeting tomorrow because we completed this week's work. Next week, Mondays and Tuesdays, is scheduled for the Public Employees Retirement System. Wednesday is the Board of Accountancy, which has not only its budget request but a fee bill. So both of those that day. And then Thursday, we have informational hearing with the Oregon Historical Society and Oregon Public Broadcasting, which, if you remember, in prior biennium, prior to last, used to receive some general fund support, and it would come through this subcommittee because it was funded, the payments went through the Department of Administrative Services.
Those are scheduled for informational. Okay, there being no other comments, we stand adjourned until Monday morning at 8:30.